How do you see yourself stacked up against your enemies? The answer can very well determine whether or not you gain the wins in life you'll need with which to serve God effectively. Listen now as Evangelist Sean Tabb preaches on You're Not a Grasshopper, right after this song.
Always, all times. again, you being here, I'll give you what I've got on my heart. I haven't really spoken to YSC in probably 3 years, or I don't think I have, I don't know, but anyhow, this is on my heart, and so I'm going to go first here this evening, and then we'll get the main preacher up here tonight. Numbers chapter 13, Bob said this in verse number 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you, God, for your love and your care. And Lord, I ask you now to speak to our hearts. God, you've already been here, refreshing us through the worship, and Lord, we pray now through the message you speak exactly what each person needs to hear. I bless your name and thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's hard to pray, hold the microphone, and turn the top on the bottle at the same time. All right. I want to speak to you on this thought tonight. You're not a grasshopper. You're not a grasshopper.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I'll try to be quick, but I want to give you some things out of this passage. Here in Numbers chapter 13, God is upset with Israel, because Israel doesn't want to take the promised land. God's brought them to a place of promise. He's brought them to a place flowing with milk and honey. Can I say tonight that God didn't save you to not fulfill you?
Amen.
He intends some things. You listen, he intends some things in your life. And he'll get you there if you'll follow him, trust him, and step forward in faith. And there's so many Christians today that Christianity just looks like I wouldn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
It looks boring. I found one in my pocket. Anyway, in my Bible, praise God. She wants me to double preach tonight. But there's so many of God's people that are not fulfilled. I'm going to use that word. I really believe that fits for the EJ in a lot of Christians' lives. They're not fulfilled
right. As
Christians.
Right.
And can I say tonight, it's not God's fault.
Right.
These Israelites ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness unfulfilled, if you will. They died out there. It wasn't God's fault. God told them, I'm taking you somewhere. I'm going to give you a place. You don't have to build it. The grapevines are already there. That it's flowing. The Bible uses the word flowing with milk and honey. I don't know what you get, but I get a picture of them calves. They're just dripping milk all out the field. I mean, that's flowing. I mean, stick wherever you want. And up in the trees, you know, the honey's just running down the tree trunks out there, flowing with milk. That's what God means for you to have in your Christian life. And if so many are not enjoying such a life, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give you more abundant life. You're saved. Thank God you're going to heaven. You're totally secure. But why are you living in the wilderness of a life? God means to fulfill your life on this earth. God did not bring them out to the wilderness to leave them there, though they accused him of that. He did not send you to forsake you. He did not call you to fail you. God did not bring you out of the world to leave you in despair and barrenness, fruitless and unproductive. That's not God's intention for your life.
Right.
I ask you this question tonight. What keeps you from your milk and honey?
Come on. That's good.
What's keeping you? These Israelites, I'm going to hit this a little bit more, but there's lack of faith, there's doubt, there's questioning God, there's no trust in God. There's also a love for the world, and who in the world likes leeks? And God, have you ever even eaten leeks? My wife does. They say it's the best thing for your floral gut bacteria. They wanted the leeks. They couldn't get rid of the world. What's keeping you from your milk and honey tonight? If God said it, it's time you believe him for it, and you believe him in it. Because you don't change his mind. He intends to do great things with your life, through your life, in your life, around your life. I'm just telling you, this thing of being a Christian is a lot bigger than a lot of Christians are living now.
That's right.
You're not a grasshopper. God's got some great things going on and intended for you.
Amen.
They were intimidated. That's what kept them out. They were intimidated by the enemy. Nevertheless, the people, verse number 28, be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. Lord, we saw the children of Anak there. They were intimidated by the people of the land. What's intimidating you as you try to move forward for God? Don't let it intimidate you. They were operating in unbelief. They wouldn't believe that God intended to bring them to the place He intended for them. But then also, they had an inferiority complex. Mm. Look at our verse here. It said, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers.
Oh, yeah. It says,
you're a child of God. You're in the kingdom of God. You're in the family of God. We just put it in good solid English. You ain't no grasshopper.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's right.
You're a lot more than that in God's kingdom.
Amen.
And in God's word. See, the reason a lot of people won't yield to God is they don't figure out that God thinks more than they think of themselves. A lot of people won't yield to God and serve God because they don't figure out that God intends some great things through them. I'm telling you, God means to do greatly through your personal life. God means to do greatly.
Yeah, right.
Amen. But they had an inferiority complex. And you can throw, you can listen to the same, throw it up, or you throw it up yourself, all your failures, all your incompletions, all that stuff. And I'm going to tell you straight up, God don't care. He didn't save you because He saw a quality in you that He liked.
Yeah, amen.
He saved you because you liked His Son.
Yeah, amen.
That's all that matters to Him. And it's not that you have to be able to serve God. You just got to be available to serve God.
Right. Right.
And so stop all that. I can't because of this. I can't because you're young. Somebody, you're young in here tonight, and you just feel inferior. Just don't feel like you got what you... God's got it. Just go with God. Right. You're old in here tonight, and you keep thinking about your past sins and your past failures. I'm just telling you, it's covered by the blood. It's been paid for. God took care of it. Just walk on. Inferior complex, they told themselves as grasshoppers. How you see yourself determines how your enemy sees you.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
If you merely mop around, your enemy's going to have a heyday on your life.
Yep.
You got to square your shoulders up, men. Young men, you got to square your shoulders up and say, I ain't going to be beat down by my enemies.
Yeah.
I'm a child of King.
Yes.
If God be for me, who can be against me?
That's
where your shoulders are manned up. Because if you see yourself as inferior, your enemy's going to have a heyday on your life.
That's good, preacher.
How I see me will determine whether I get into God's plan and promise for my life.
Yeah.
Did you know there are a lot of Christians that have been saved for years and they're still not doing anything for God? They just can't get out of their inferiority complex. They can't get into believing that God saved them completely, that Jesus finished the work of salvation, that He paid their sin debt in full, that He took care of their shame and their guilt in full, that He has handled their sorrow completely. So they spend years and years and years and years and years of their life doing nothing for God.
Yeah,
I see myself that way. I will never get into God's plan for my life. A lot of young people in here, my soul, don't spin around for 10, 15 years before you start serving God.
Oh,
God means right now. He'll pick up and walk with you on a path to milk and honey, service for Him and yielded to Him. Just tell me, there's a great life to live in the Christian life. How I see God in my ministry determines the effect of my ministry. If I feel like my ministry is inferior, then that's what's going to project. That's what's going to come out of my ministry. That's what's going to come out of your ministry. But if you realize it's not your ministry, but it's His ministry, He's doing the work. He's making it all happen. You're just along for the ride. I'm telling you, I can do some great things for your life. There's a distorted image about us oftentimes. A self-image that's distorted. Irvin Lutzer was a former senior pastor of the Moody Church, and he suggested this: our perception is the foundation on which we build our dreams, whether good or evil.
Yeah, that's good.
Wow. If you think bad about yourself, you will produce bad out of your life.
Right.
Let me take a step further a little bit in psychology. I'm going to hit this a little bit, I'm going to move on. But if you will buy into what somebody else thinks thinks bad about you, it's going to destroy your walk for God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If somebody says you're no count and you begin to believe you're no count, you'll end up being no count.
Yeah.
I'd rather listen to God. I'd rather listen. I can hear them kids by all over in their own side. We're like grasshoppers. I can hear Josh and Caleb. No, we're not. We're children of God. We've been doing them. We're bigger than that.
Amen.
Careful what you're listening to in your life.
Yes,
not only that, let me say this. They saw each other as grasshoppers. I really want to dig real deep right here. They saw each other as grasshoppers. Smokey, you're as much as important to the kingdom of God and everything that you do that Brother EJ is and everything that he does. Lisa, you're just as important to things of God and what you do as Sister Shannon Wood is.
Yes.
We start seeing each other as grasshoppers, the whole thing breaks apart.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
You're right.
They begin to look at each other and see inferiorities in each other and see, oh, well, you don't know what they did, so, you know, that God can't ever use him. Don't Jesus know what kind of woman's touching him? What the world's going on here? I'm just telling you, we need to see each other better than we usually look at each other. The people around you, the people in your life, your home, your family, they're all part of God's plan for your life. They're all meaningful. You need people in your life.
Good preaching.
No man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. We need each other. That's why don't you quit on God's church. Don't you quit going to church. You need the house of God. You need the conglomerate of God's people. The camaraderie. When you come in the house of God, pick each other up. If somebody's down, speak to the feelings. Comfort the weak minded. Build each other up.
Amen.
Every single one of us matter. When you start seeing those whom God has placed to partner and serve with you as unimportant, you yourself will become weak. And the work will become weak. And your confidence with God will recede. Because he set it up that we need each other.
Yes.
Pastor EJ and I started YSC. We started it on the principle because I've been several places. I can tell you out west. I was standing outside the city there in Togo, Africa. The young preacher boy was fellowshipping with me, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "evangelist," they call me on the mission field. They said, "Evangelist, is there anybody else like me?" I said, "Son, there's people all over the world who love God that are your age."
Yeah.
You don't have to shirk back from serving God thinking you're Elijah, because you're not. All over the world, there are young people that want to serve God. We started it out as Young Service Connect. We've changed the name because God done a little more than that. Well, now it's Yield Serve Connect. I'm just telling you, you need each other.
Yeah, man.
While you're here, connect. Not connect on who can I date.
Come on.
God will. Ain't God but a day. You can't figure that out today. Until you get her in a day, you better hand her back.
Come on.
But you find camaraderie.
Yeah.
And it don't matter at age in the kingdom of God.
Right.
Yeah. Brother EJ's a lot younger than me, but I draw strength from him. Age ain't got nothing to do with it in the kingdom of God.
Come on, that's right.
Find out who God lets you hook up with and run with.
Amen.
Just draw close to him and run your best for God. We need each other, and it matters how we see each other. Let me skip down here and get done real quick here. Let me say some things about Caleb. What did Caleb do? How did he work in their lives? I want to say that he cultivated greatness around him. Listen, when he goes into the promised land with everybody, he goes to Joshua and says, "Joshua, now Moses promised me this mountain. We've come to the mountain, my mountain. I've been waiting 45 years for this mountain. Now give me this mountain." He wasn't alone. He had people around him, and his family and around him, the close, they were ready to take all of that belonged to all of them through Caleb. I'm just telling you, we need to cultivate greatness in those around us. It'd be better for you to tell somebody you can do it,
right?
That's right.
Than to tell them you ain't gonna make it.
Yeah.
We need to cultivate a greatness in each other. Wherever you're at in the next couple of days, make that a focus. It ain't about you. Just pay it. It ain't about you.
Right.
If your conversation is about you, you're not being what God wants you to be in that conversation.
Yeah,
ma'am.
Yeah.
Focus on them. Strengthen them. Build greatness up in them. Tell them how great their God is. Tell them God hasn't forsaken them. Tell them God is beginning to do great things in their life. If I'm telling you that God wants to do great in your life, it's helping me and strengthening me. God, he wants to do great in my life. Cultivate greatness in each other. Let me say, inspire confidence. It took me years to learn this, Brother Billy, but I've tried to steadily in the last 5 years or so, I've tried to surround myself, Brother Robbie, with men and people of faith and people who can help me reach out better for God.
Amen, brother.
Get you some people who inspire you around your life. Ask yourself this question. And I apologize, some of you write notes and we don't have our notebooks, and I don't know why. Maybe we'll get them tomorrow. We usually have notebooks for you. But write this down. Ask yourself this question. Who do I have in my life that is inspiring me for God? Who's my Caleb? Who's my Joshua in my life? Or the girls that... seven times in the Jordan River. Naaman? Come on, Bible scholars. Ain't nobody knows. they didn't name the girl, did they?
No.
It's just a slave girl.
Little
boy. Pastor?
Little maid.
Yep.
Little maid.
Little maid. I bet you it's Gourmet. Gourmet. That's like an 1800s name. Gourmet. The little maid. Who's inspiring you in your life? Look around. Challenge yourself and get you somebody who will inspire you.
Yeah,
all right, let me say this. And also, Caleb and Joshua, they encouraged the pursuit.
Yeah, that's good.
In chapter 13, here, verse 30, and Caleb steeled the people. Now, y'all get quiet. Y'all all mealy-mouthing. Y'all all losing faith. You're chewing with each other and on each other. And you just tearing all faith out of this thing. Everybody just keep quiet. What do you got to say, Caleb? And said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able. We ain't grasshoppers. Let's go get it. Encourage the pursuit. Never mind the top rope walker. They all cheering him. He's walking through, I think it was in New York. Anyhow, whatever it was. Walking away from Niagara Falls. It was in New York. Stayed in New York. I got that part right. It just came in my notes, but I didn't spend much time on it. That's an old story. Yeah, he walked across there, and boy, they cheered, and he looked down, and he said, y'all got confidence over here, and you think I can do it with a wheelbarrow? Oh, yeah! You got a wheelbarrow, push it across, and come back. Everybody just cheered, man. He said, y'all think I can push somebody in a wheelbarrow across? Oh, yeah! He looked at that guy, and he said, how about you, sir? Thank you. We got to encourage the pursuit. You can't shirk back because it looks scary. You got to encourage. Let's go for it. Let's do it. And then let me say this. He sought to change the dialogue. Shut down the naysaying. Can I tell you tonight? Stop overthinking and just go do it.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
I'm the world's worst. I'm the world's worst. complain. I'm the Lord's voice. I will, man. I'll overthink it and overthink it, and I'll build it and rebuild it, tear it down, rebuild it in my mind. It's a wonder why this even exists. I'm just telling you. But you just sometimes just squint your eyes and step out there and hope God's with you. You know, just go for it. But he shut down. He's shutting down the nation. He's trying to change the dialogue of these people. In our record here, in verses 4 to 16, all 10 other spies are named, but you don't know their names. You know why? Because nobody remembers somebody who tells them they can't do something. Who wants to know that person? But you know Joshua and Caleb, because they're saying, get after it, boy! We can do this! See God do miracles.
Faith.
Tell them they can walk in faith, live in faith, live by faith. Tell them they can trust God. Tell them they can follow God.
Right.
It's always easier to be a pessimist and negative when facing difficult circumstances. That seems safer. That way you don't set yourself up for disappointment or failure, possibly, if it doesn't work out.
That's good.
I don't remember the one phrase that just came across my mind, Brother Hayes, and run out the other side. You know what I'm talking about? He just ran even further now. I think. It was something to the effect. I'd rather try than fail and something like that. I'd rather get a ship built than no ship built because I didn't want to try. Something like that. Greatness comes by faith. You hear me tonight? I'm almost done. Great deeds come to fruition by faith. God will have it no other way in your life.
Right.
So put this in your notes and ask yourself this question. What steps am I taking in faith? Don't be talking about the way I read my Bible this morning. That ain't a step of faith. That's a devotion. Well, we church Sunday. That's not a step of faith. That's a devotion. There's a whole lot of devoted Christians, but there ain't a whole lot of faith walking Christians. So write in your notes, what steps am I taking in faith? My definition of faith is this: when you step not out onto the branch, but you step out beyond the branch. You have stepped out there where there is nothing underneath you. It's just God. Just you walking with God, you pursuing with God. That is a step of faith. William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Thousands of missionaries followed William Carey. He helped birth the missionary movement, and other great men, Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor, David Livingston, all of them followed after Carey because he stepped out in faith. What are you doing in great faith for God? With God being with them, or you, no amount of giants, walled cities, great people, or harsh landscapes can keep you from getting what God has directed you towards.
Yeah,
in my life, I'm in a kind of a holding pattern on a big outreach. Even when you're in that, just keep reaffirming your faith. God, don't start something, stop it. Faith as you call for, you also will do it.
Greater
is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Just keep confronting yourself in God if you're in a holding pattern. God, I know it's just, I'm not going to, this is a challenge to my faith. I'm not going to lose faith. I'm seeing that. I still see it out there.
Yeah.
Still see a pavilion sitting out there. And so you just keep reaching for it and you keep believing God for it. Reaffirming the goals in your life. The goal tonight is to possess what God has promised you. What God promised me. Well, we do this. He promised you Christ.
Yeah.
Put this in your notes. Do you have all of Christ? You got all of Christ?
Yeah.
You ain't even started, man.
That's right.
The oldest person in here, Brother Hayes, I'm sorry. The man of God, so many years, faithful. He ain't even started.
You're
right. Amen.
You're right. Yeah. Right.
How much Christ you got going on? There's a goal. Paul said, I'm pressing toward that mark, prize of high calling God in Christ Jesus. As I press towards that goal, I begin to pick up things in my life that God wanted me to do and God meant for me to have in my life. You hear me?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
He reassured their hearts. We can do it. We can overcome. To think it could not be done was to limit God's power and to doubt his faithfulness. To think it could not be done was to limit God's power and to doubt his faithfulness. Joshua and Caleb came back from overviewing the impossible by encouraging Israel to live by faith. We can do it. What's your word for the situation? That's what we got to tell each other. I need you to reassure me. You need me to reassure you. We can do it. We can go after the things of God. We can pursue forward for God. Caleb might have said, but God has certainly promised to give us this land, and he has always been faithful. Remember the pledge he sent to Pharaoh to let us leave. Remember the parting of the Red Sea. Remember how God provided water for us and food for us in the desert. He's gotten us out of the impossible situations many times before. He'll do it again. Let's go.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Right.
Let's go.
Amen.
Let's get after it. So, let's not stand around and waste our time. The 10 spies told Israel to be fearful and afraid of the Canaanites. Joshua and Caleb told the people in the land, that the people in the land are the ones who should be afraid of us.
Yeah.
Not us. Of them. When God is going to do something wonderful, he begins with a difficulty.
Right.
When he is going to do something really wonderful, he begins with an impossibility. And when we live by faith in God, life gets exciting.
Right.
Yes.
You ain't a grasshopper. Yield to God. Step forward in serving God.
Good.
Let him connect around you people who will help you on your journey for him and move forward in mighty faith for God. You are not a grasshopper.
Amen.
Amen.
This song is based on the Lord Jesus speaking to Thomas again. We think he would never speak to him, but he did. And he still speaks to you today.
Yeah.
Even after we fail, he speaks and he encourages. Jesus is speaking again to our hearts.
Yes.
With words of great power, words like stars. His truth comes with force and it pulls deep within. Jesus is speaking. Yes. Again. Jesus.
Hey.